The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists say some dinosaurs ran as fast as Usain Bolt.
Tony Kornheiser. But they weren't fast enough to catch Hubie Brown, were they?
No, take that. And you know what? If they had caught Hubie, Hubie would have beat him down. Beat him down!
Hubie was calling games then, and he's calling games now. That's right. Why we love Hubie. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Steelers face the Vikings. Mike McCarthy predicts victory, and the Rockets are reeling off wins. But we begin today with a story that I know you will love, Wilbon. Two undeniably great football coaches, Bill Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, told USA Today that too many contemporary coaches are going for it on fourth down. Johnson complained that too many of the decisions to go on fourth are based on analytics rather than game situations. And Johnson said, quote, "I feel the risk-taking has gone to another level," unquote. Wilbon, you slam today's coaches all the time. Do Parcells and Johnson sound smart or old?
Yeah, both. I mean, the older you are, the smarter you get. So yes. They sound wise. They sound like people wearing rings, unlike a lot of people who go for it on fourth down from deep in their own territory, who not only aren't wearing rings, they don't even wear a win until last week. So, yes, they sound smart. And, Tony, it goes back to a day when you could go to the NFC East, which featured those two men for a while. And you know what you can find? You can find all the guys in that division wearing Super Bowl rings. You throw Joe Gibbs in, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody else, whoever later even for the Giants, other people on the Giants, Super Bowl rings. And so, Tony, yes, I believe in what they're saying, because people now go for it for fourth down based on a chart or a card, like the two-point conversion versus the kick. And they go for it for reasons that don't have to do with, let me look at who's across the line from me at nose tackle, or the four fellows across the line from me to figure out whether or not we should be going for it on fourth and two. There are all kinds of reasons that don't have anything to do with personnel, your own personnel, your gut feeling, the conditions of the game and the tundra. I don't believe in today's coaches versus these two gentlemen who wear gold jackets.
Yeah, so let me say, first of all, how thrilled I am to be talking about two people who are actually older than I am, which I thought was impossible. I love both these guys. I covered both of them. And second of all, let me say, and this is where we part company to a degree, that I'd rather see somebody go for it than see a punt. I mean, it's a television show to me. It's entertainment.
I think that
they sound both smart and old. I'm not going to take the automatic knee-jerk position that all analytics are bad, because it's an easy position to take. I do agree with you that if you only go by the card and you don't care about what's out in front of you, that you're making a mistake. I think that that is a mistake. I would point this out, Mike, though. Since 2017, attempts to go on fourth are up 73%. Success on conversions this year is at 52%. Success last year was at 55%. And by the way, these guys went for it. Parcells went for it because he had great blockers. And Jimmy went for it because he had Aikman and Irvin and Emmett. I wouldn't go for it from my own 20 like your boy in Detroit did, but I'd go from my own 40. I would.
Yeah.
As long as the weather let me and the players let me.
It does depend. This ain't a TV show to me. You want to have that, go get one of your figure skating shows. That's TV. Or The Masked Bandit or whatever that stupid stuff is, or Law & Order, which I watch. These aren't TV shows. This is sports, okay? So treat it like that. And sadly, too many of today's coaches don't seem to have the conviction that these two have. And I know you believe that. You may not say it as you protect the shield,
but those guys have conviction. What I found interesting, Mike, was they both praised Harbaugh, that Harbaugh went for, you know, on a two-point situation.
Yeah,
and they say
guy.
That he's earned it. I'm going to suggest to you that 5 years from now, because Harbaugh's been in the league 10 to 12 years, 5 years from now, some of these other guys like McVay and Kingsbury and Shanahan, when they're in the area 10 years, they'll have earned it.
They may all be gone. The Steelers face the Vikes tonight in a matchup of mediocre teams. The Steelers barely squeaked by the Ravens on Sunday, while the Vikings lost to the previous winless and aforementioned Lions. But both teams are just outside the playoffs now. Tony, so is tonight's game something or nothing?
It's something for a variety of reasons, and not just because 20 million people are going to watch. It's something because the only way you can get to the Super Bowl is to get in the playoffs. So if you're still fighting to get in the playoffs, that's a good thing. And it's something because of the way these two teams have played this year. Okay, the Minnesota Vikings, 11 games so far, Mike, have been decided by 8 points or fewer, and they're 4-7 in them, and that stinks. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have been in 8 games already decided by 8 or fewer, and they're 6-1-1. And they had the two best endings last week. They went down to the buzzer. The Lions beat the Vikings at the buzzer, and the Steelers won at the buzzer because Baltimore missed a 2-point conversion. I mean, to me, it shapes up as an exciting game.
I'm not going to say exciting. It's a consequential game because the loser is likely out of here and going to be further outside the playoffs. And the Vikings, I don't know what's going to happen to Zimmer. I watch all the NFC Central games, and I look at Zimmer, and I look at their quarterback. How you like that? And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't care what the numbers say, the analytics. I don't care what Captain Kirk's numbers are. He doesn't get it done. Doesn't get it done in pressure games across time. Pretty good quarterback, good talent. I might look at him compared to 9 out of the last 10 Bears quarterbacks and say I'd take him, because I would, because ours usually stink. But, Tony, this is a game where it's so mediocre, the loser can't go bye-bye, and the winner doesn't assure itself of anything either. The winner could go bye-bye next week, and that's the NFL we have today. I'm not going to call it exciting. It's sort of fun. It's interesting. Exciting? Not to me.
I'm going to go to Kirk Cousins just for a second here, because that's the most confounding team to me in the entire league.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins' statistics are great. He's got 25 touchdown passes and only 3 picks. That's Aaron Rodgers' land. Rodgers 23-4. But to your point, Rodgers' team is 9-3, and Cousins' team is 5-7. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it is coaching, and not just the guy at quarterback. Maybe. Let's move now to the hottest team in the NBA. And shockingly, it's the Houston Rockets. A couple of weeks ago, they were in the process of losing 15 straight games. Now, after beating the Nets without Kevin Durant last night, they're in the process of winning 7 straight, which admittedly, to me, feels impossible. Wilbon, does this sudden surge by the Rockets justify the Rockets' plan to work it out on the court and keep John Wall as far away as possible?
Temporarily, Tone. I mean, we just talked about a segment where two Hall of Fame coaches said coaches will justify whatever through the numbers. We just talked about that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're trying to make a case for your own preposterous case, and you and I feel it is that way, to just send John Wall home forever, you know, so you can justify playing the young stars, you can make that case. But let's see how long that lasts. And I'll give Houston plenty of credit. They didn't just beat anybody last night. They beat the Brooklyn Nets, favored by the Vegas touts you always quote, to be the favorites to win the NBA championship. They beat the Nets last night. Granted, Kevin Durant didn't play. But, Tony, they have played well. He didn't play, but they beat the Nets. And they should be able to win, you would think, without KD against that squad, which was 1-16 at one point.
Right.
So you can justify whatever you want. I hate it that John Wall is just told to go away forever. I don't particularly like that. Houston is curious to watch, though, because they got a kid like Christian Wood who can play, who makes no money, and somebody might try to make a play for before the trade deadline.
So I don't know anybody on the Houston Rockets, and to me it feels like if you play there, you've been put in exile. And I will tell you that I am stunned by this, absolutely stunned by this. I thought the Rockets were going to lose 65 to 70 games this year, and I thought they would fire their coach, Silas, and then I was going to rail against management and ownership for being totally incompetent because you didn't give them anything to work with. And I'll get to the subject of John Wall. As you know, I'm not crazy about John Wall at all. I was glad when the Wizards traded him for Russell Westbrook. But I sat on this show a few weeks ago and I said, they're not going to be 1-15 with John Wall. What are you people doing? So I'm stunned that they are 8-16 without John Wall.
So maybe
and
they're
I've got to shut my mouth because I don't know how this is happening.
Yeah.
Let's take a
surprise,
break.
Surprise, surprise.
Coming up, did Mike McCarthy hurt himself when he said that he's confident his Cowboys will beat the football team on Sunday?
And what is wrong with the Ravens offense? We're going to ask Booger McFarland. I mean, how about your quarterback number 12? You know, doubling down on owning the Bears. How about that? That was much more egregious than his Cowboys quarterback.
But you think he's going, he does own the Bears. You think the Bears are going to lose?
Yeah. Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour and in part by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
Week 14 of the NFL schedule kicks off tonight, which makes it a perfect time to bring in our great friend from NFL Monday Night Countdown, ESPN NFL analyst Booger McFarland, frequent contributor of my podcast, where he gets better reviews than I do. Booger, let me start with this. Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy returned from COVID today. He said of his team's game with the Washington football team on Sunday right here in Washington, D.C., quote, "We're going to win this game. I'm confident about that," unquote. If you played for Washington, how would you feel about what McCarthy said?
Well, first thing I would say, Tony, it beats the alternative. It beats him going out saying, "Hey, guys, I got no confidence in us and whatsoever that we're going to win this game." Ultimately, it's going to be determined by how we play on the field. Yeah, publicly, I'm going to stand behind my coach. My coach has my back and I have his back. Privately, I know that my coach has just heightened a sense of awareness for the other team. With that being said, that's not the biggest issue the Cowboys have. Their biggest issue is the quarterback. He's got to play a little bit better. Their big line guys, especially up front, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, those guys have got to play better up front. You know, Jerry came out talking about the wide receivers running their routes. I have no idea what Jerry was talking about. The bottom line, the quarterback has to play better. And if Dak does, they'll be okay against the Washington football team.
Booger, we're going to go about 40 miles down the road a little bit, or maybe up the road to the Ravens, who have scored like 10, 16, 16, 19 in their last few games. Lamar Jackson missed one of those. But still, what's wrong with the Ravens' offense lately?
You know, Mike, this all goes back to that Thursday night. Remember against the Dolphins? It was a Thursday night game. You may have been watching.
I watched a little bit.
But the Dolphins had a particular game plan against the Ravens. They came out and they blitzed Lamar Jackson up and down the field. It was zero blitz. It was simulated pressures. And the Ravens could not handle it. So this being a copycat league, meaning every team is going to do what's successful the week before, every team since then has blitzed the Ravens. And Lamar Jackson has been bad. So as much credit as we give Lamar early in the season for being MVP Lamar and playing well, the last three or four games, he's played bad. As a matter of fact, the last three games, his QBR on a scale of 0 to 100 is less than 10, and it's all against the blitz. They have got to come up with a better game plan when teams come with their blitz package, because right now, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, are not handling the blitz very well.
Well, one coach who seems to always come up with the right game plan, of course, is Bill Belichick, who said after winning in the wind and rain and snow and everything that was going on in Buffalo, he said, that's why we practice in this bleep as a player. Does that make it all worthwhile to you, or are you thinking sometimes, you know what, the dome is just fine, we can still put a game plan together there?
Listen, I was there in Buffalo, and let me tell you, I don't care how many times you go out in 30-degree weather with the wind blowing 40 to 50 miles an hour and snow coming sideways, just because you do it twice doesn't mean you're more prepared. I was miserable Monday night, Mike. I mean miserable. So I can imagine how players feel if you got to go out there during the week. Now, Bill has a point. Obviously, when you become familiar with the surroundings and familiar with the circumstances, yeah, you know how to prepare. You know what to expect. But I've talked to a lot of people, people that grew up and lived in the cold weather, and they tell you all the time, regardless of how the old saying goes, my blood is thinned out. Nah, 20 degrees is 20 degrees, and it's cold for everyone. So I hear you, Bill, but I'm not going to buy into that theory, man.
All right, Booger, we get you out of here on this, and we're going to stay with that game. After that game, a couple of Bills players, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer of the Bills, they were very upset when a reporter asked them whether the way they lost was embarrassing. You're a guy who played in the trenches. You played in that hand-to-hand combat in the league. Is that question fair in under those circumstances? Is that question fair?
Yeah, Tony, I think the premise of the question is fair. I don't think the trigger word embarrassing was the right word, you know, because we all have things that make us very sensitive and make our awareness become heightened. That would be like somebody saying, hey, Tony, Mike, and Booger, have you guys ever thought how good you would look with hair? Like, all three of us would probably get upset because none of us are blessed with a full head of hair. Okay, so imagine how we would feel if somebody asked us that question. So it's a fair question when a team only throws the football three times. Hey, did you feel kind of embarrassed the way they did you? But on the surface, when you ask the NFL player, hey, are you embarrassed? You can't do that. And so I understand their response. I understand their reaction. But Buffalo's got to play better. You know, we can talk about the reaction and talk about the trigger word all we want to. That's two times we've seen the Buffalo Bills have the ball ran down their throat. Remember, a few weeks ago, the Indianapolis Colts did the same thing. Jonathan Taylor up and down the field. So that's twice in about a month that teams have come into Buffalo and ran the ball down their throat. That's why I think this Sunday, they're coming down here to Tampa. Now, thankfully, it's 85 degrees here in my city where I live. They won't have to deal with the cold weather, but they are going to have to deal with a Buccaneer team that's playing well. Leonard Fournette is a big physical back that's running the ball. And Tom Brady is playing like an MVP candidate right now. So Buffalo's got bigger issues than whether or not they were embarrassed by Bill. They better not get embarrassed by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers when they come down to Tampa.
Thank you so much, Booger. I'm going to leave quickly
and
get a hair piece for the next time we do this show. Thank you.
Hey, listen, we all are in the same boat, man. We all need more hair.
Yeah. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Steph Curry doesn't get the 16 threes some thought he might gun for, because he gunned for them.
Nah, not bad. He knew he wasn't getting 16. Yeah. He never had 16 before. And what's going on with all the COVID cases in the NBA?
Wilbon, you think that Booger wearing that Wingfoot shirt is trying to invite us to play with him at Wingfoot?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 79th birthday, Dick Butkus, one of your idols, Wilbon. Butkus was born and raised in Chicago, attended the University of Illinois, where he was named MVP of the Big Ten. And how many defensive players can say that? Butkus went on to the Chicago Bears, where in 9 seasons, he was first-team All-Pro 6 times. You want to know how great a linebacker Butkus was? You know that award they give every year to the top college linebacker? It's called the Butkus Award.
That's right.
Butkus was the youngest of eight children, oh, and at birth he weighed 13 pounds, 6 ounces, to which I say, make room at the dinner table for this one. The shame of his playing career is that Butkus never made the playoffs.
Sadly, he and Sayers didn't. Tony, a few years ago, I was butt-dialing, obviously mistakenly butt-dialing, the great Dick Butkus. He's in California. It's like midnight in the East. I mean 3 a.m. in the East. It's still late in the Pacific Coast time. And Butkus one night, he called me back and said, hey, Wilbon, stop butt-dialing me. But it's funny when I hear you screaming at your kid. And he broke into laughter. I was terrified when I saw Dick Butkus calling me, and then I was butt-dialing him. But he got such a kick out of me screaming at Matthew. I love Dick Butkus.
So great. Happy anniversary, Eric Dickerson. On this day 37 years ago, the Rams running back ran for 215 yards to break O.J. Simpson's single-season rushing record. O.J. had broken Jim Brown's record in 1973 when he got 2,003 yards in 14 games. Dickerson played 16 games on the way to 2,105 yards, a record that still stands. Now, you'd think with a 17-game schedule, Dickerson's mark might be vulnerable to someone like a healthy Derrick Henry. But for the sake of argument, Henry was averaging 117 yards a game this year before getting injured. 117 yards, 17 games would give Henry 1,989 yards, 116 yards short of the Rambassador. For 17 games, you're going to have to average 123.9 to beat Dickerson.
Tony, you know he could average 122.9 or 132.9 if healthy. Sadly, not healthy right now.
A near happy trails to home ice for the Arizona Coyotes. The city of Glendale, where the Coyotes currently play, informed the team it plans to lock the Coyotes out of their home arena if the team doesn't pay its delinquent tax bill and other charges by December 20th. Reportedly, the Coyotes owe Glendale about $250,000 out of a total of $1.3 million of taxes and fees. The Coyotes publicly expressed regret, promised to make all payments by the morning, and today, according to ace reporter Michael Wilbon of ESPN, they did indeed pay up. The complicating factor here is the Coyotes have informed Glendale of their intent to move out and into an as-yet unbuilt arena in Tempe, so nerves are frayed. Wilbon, this is your state. What's going on?
Don't nobody knows. I mean, this franchise has had issues for years now. Who knows where they're going to play in the future? I like outside, though.
Let's go to the big
thing. Let's
go.
Background.
Both the Raptors and the Pacers canceled today's practice out of an abundance of caution due to health and safety protocols. Your thoughts?
It's sad to hear that Rick Carlisle is in protocol. Bulls era added Derrick Jones Jr. Tony, just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you can't test positive. Steph Curry hit 6 threes in a win over the Blazers and is 10 away from breaking Ray Allen's record. Your reaction?
Relax. He'll get it. Grambling State is reportedly hiring Hugh Jackson to be its new head coach. Does that make sense?
I think it's a terrific hire, Tony. I talked yesterday about the renaissance at HBCUs on all sports, but particularly football, it seems. The Knicks lost by 20 to the Pacers last night, but fawned over Obi Toppin's through-the-legs dunk. How you feeling about that?
In the old days, the next time down the court, he'd have been hit in the throat. He'd end up on his back. Last one, number one Purdue at 4-4 Rutgers. Are you smelling upset?
No.
We're out of time. Trying to do better the next time. Mallory Crossland, thank you. They're beautiful.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or the Apple Podcast. SportsCenter coming.